chapter number 1.
Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 1. Good to see you here on a Sunday morning. Boy, what a beautiful day that the Lord hath made. You know, He said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. We ought to be glad we still live in a country where we can go to church. Those days are fastly approaching where we'll not have this benefit. I'm convinced of that. And so while we got it, we better enjoy it. And the Lord is soon to come. If not, the government's going to shut things down. Amen. Exodus chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. Well, I could stop there and preach an hour. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. There arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He said unto his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also to our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now, if you would, look in Exodus 2, verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived, and she bare a son. She went and saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. She put him in the brinks of the river. Simply, that was a story of Moses. We all know that. Verse number 11, Moses is grown now in chapter 2. And he went out and he looked about his brethren and he looked on their burdens. And he seen an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. So Moses now, he comes out to Marah. Some boys said, we seen what you did yesterday, and we went and told Pharaoh. Pharaoh's put a bounty on his head now, and it picks up in verse number 21. The Bible said, and Moses was content to dwell with the man. He gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. She bare him a son, called his name Gershom. For he said, and here's my first thought this morning, I've been a stranger in a strange land. You may be seated today. Father, we thank You for this time together. I want to thank You for the Word of God and, Lord, the people of God, the songs of God. We thank You for it. Now, Lord, as we open this book of God, I pray that You'd make it real to us today. Stir in our hearts and help us. I'm a needy preacher, and I pray You'd touch me and use me today. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything that You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Verse 22, Moses married simply Zipporah. She bore him a son. He called his name Gershom. For he said, I've been a stranger in a strange land. And Brother Jake said something about this in the prayer room this morning, but I want to preach on this topic today, a stranger in a strange land. A stranger in a strange land. I want to deal with 3 thoughts of this text verse. Number 1, I want to talk about the times of the strange land. Number 2, the truths in a strange land. And number 3, the teachings in a strange land. Now, first of all, notice in Exodus chapter number 1, will you Bible, look at verse number 7. Now, Moses had came up. Moses had wore the T-shirt. Moses was a man that God called that had great experiences. Moses found himself like me and you. He found himself in some times of strangers. Now, he said this in verse number 7. The children of Israel were fruitful. They increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly might, and the land was filled with them. Now, the times of a strange land. Notice this, and it may surprise you that you'll see this in your Bible, but first of all, the times of this strange land, there was fruitfulness and blessing. It was a time of fruitfulness and blessing. I'm going to tell you, America has never had it this good as we see things in the blessing realm of the day. The Bible said that God's people, they were very fruitful and they were filled with blessing. Now, I like this. They said they were fruitful and they increased abundantly and multiplied. I want to say this before I get much further today in this sermon. God's still in the blessing business. Even though we live in a strange land, aren't you glad you can be blessed in a strange land? Even though we live in a strange land, don't mean we got to be strange in a strange land. We're to be strangers in a strange land. Now, it was a time of fruitfulness, of great blessing. Have you ever noticed this? When you start serving God, you start living the way this Bible tells you to live, the way the blessings of God will come on you and your family. I've seen family after family that would come into this ministry, that hear the preaching of the Word of God, and God would deal with their heart. They'd start apply themselves with the Word of God, and God's hand would start blessing. I'm going to tell you something. God's still in the blessing business. But it's more than a health and a wealth gospel. Just because you're saved don't mean that hard times won't come. But aren't you glad that we serve a God that's still blessing His children in a strange time? Now, they were fruitful in blessing. And then you'll notice this in verse number 6 and verse number 8. In this times of a strange land, not only do we see their fruitfulness and blessing, but we see a forgetfulness and burials. All of a sudden, Joseph in verse 6 died, and all his brethren and all that generation that knew something about God died. And all of a sudden, verse number 8, here we see something. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Didn't know nothing about the Bible that Joseph knew something about. Didn't know anything about the worship that Joseph knew something about. Do you remember when Joseph's brothers were tricksters and they were swindlers and they sold him. And Joseph got a bad deal, but he held on to God. And God let him become second man in the land of Egypt. His daddy had come back down and was blessed from the blessings of Joseph. But all of a sudden now Joseph and his generation has died and a new king has stepped up that knows nothing about the blessings of the God of Joseph. Reminds me of where we live in America this morning. Boy, we've got a lot of folks that's trying to lead our country that know nothing, it seems, about the God of Joseph. I'll remind you, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Aren't you glad you've got a God that if He knows you this side of the grave, He'll know you yonder side of the grave. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, but I am the God of Abraham this morning. I'm glad He's still God on the throne. There's the times in this strange land. There were fruitfulness and blessing. There were a great forgetfulness and burials. The Bible simply told us that a new king stepped up. And then in verse number 10, the Bible said there's also a frightfulness and bondage. It reminds me of where we live today. verse 10, the new king said, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also to our enemies and fight against us. And so go get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, there was a great frightfulness there, became a great bondage in this strange land. Their freedoms were taken. They were so blessed, but yet they became in bondage to their blessing. They had a new king come in town, and he come in over their blessing, and all of a sudden, even though they were blessed, they became in bondage. I'll remind you this morning, it doesn't matter how many dollars you got in the bank. It don't matter how many cars is in your garage. Honey, I'm going to tell you, Egypt is still Egypt. And if you play around with the things of Egypt, you're going to find yourself in bondage. We need to get out of bondage and get over in Canaan land and get to where God wants us. There's some bad taskmasters waiting on you out yonder with your blessing. Boy, a lot of times we're so blessed, but yet we become cursed with our blessing. I want you to cut this sermon off just a second off the internet. I spent time. Now I want to say this morning, there's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have you. Because if you're not careful, honey, you'll become in bondage. You'll become their slave masters. A lot of you ought to realize you just got married. Your mom and daddy, the reason they got two cars, because they work for them. Amen. Just because you start out don't mean you got to have two car notes. I've been around some nice golf courses and them beautiful homes, and I peeked in the windows, and you know what them folks are sitting on? Nothing. You know, I'd rather live in a little single-wide trailer. Have me a good jacked-up Chevrolet truck. Somebody say amen right there. Have me a little hamburger money back in my back pocket. Amen. Than to be against the grindstone and under the slave, become a slave of the slave master in Egypt's bondage. Well, let's everybody go buy three new cars, $750 a month. Let's go get us a $1,500 house payment. $350 power bill, $150 cell bill. Somebody say amen right there. And then we wonder why we ain't got nothing left for God on Sunday. See, if we'd rearrange things, go to giving God what's God His first, then we'd have something to go with on Monday. Amen. But I'll remind you, just because you're blessed, don't get your eye off the blesser this morning. And boy, we see the times in a strange land. You know, God's people are still blessed. You know that? Me and my wife has got more materially right now than we've ever had. I mean, I looked in a closet this morning, picked out what I wanted to wear. And most of you did the same thing. Most of you got in the car and drove down here in the one you wanted to come with. Most of you going to go home and pick out what you want to eat for lunch. We're still blessed. It ain't no sense looking down and saying, God, you quit blessing me, honey. Let me tell you, the devil will never show you what you got, just what you ain't got this morning. But I will remind you, there's bondage fooling around in Egypt. Everything that glitters is not gold. Boy, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but that ain't so. And so certainly here, this stranger in a strange land, we see the times of the strange land. God was blessing His people. God's still blessing His people. And let me tell you something. God's going to continue to bless His people until we get home, long as we put Him first in this Bible. Let me tell you something. There is more than health and wealth to be preached, but I do want to tell you this. God's blessings will get on your family and on your life if you'll trust Him and live according to this Bible. That's mighty weak this morning. We ought to say amen, church. We got a God that's still a blessing. And I'm glad we got a God still in business. So, this morning, a stranger in a strange land. There's times that they lived in the strange land. There was blessing, there was burials, there was bondage. But then you'll notice simply in verse 16, there was a lot of bloodshed. There was a forcefulness that came along in Exodus there in verse number 16. He tried to wipe out all of the men children. Pharaoh didn't want any competition. And so, you know the story, the midwives minded God more than Pharaoh, and that's where we got to get and realize in America. It doesn't matter what laws that are put down. When it goes against this Bible, it's still wrong. Amen. They said, no, we're not going to kill them children. Brother Dwayne, I wish our legislatures could hear that this morning and realize it's better to mind God than to mind them. They said, we're not killing them babies. And so he turned around to his others and he said, well, y'all drowned them all in the river then. Everyone drowned them in the river. Could you imagine the cry of the bloodshed through that country? Could you imagine the mom and daddies that gave up the rights of their children? Oh boy, it was a sad time in that strange land. But I want to go to number two this morning. Not on the times of a strange land, but let's look at some truths in a strange land. Now, Brother Chris said, preach it, preacher. We want to hear the truth. Does anybody want to hear the truth? Or have you got truth hard and say amen? Truths in a strange land. Now, simply, Moses said, boy, I'm a stranger in a strange... This is some kind of strange land. Not only there's the times of a strange land, but here's some truths in a strange land. Of where we live today, there's some strange preaching. Strange preaching. In Hosea chapter number 3, turn over to the right in your Bibles there. In Hosea chapter number 3, or in chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 6. I'll read it for sake of time. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Now, God said His people were destroyed for lack of knowledge because the preachers had quit preaching. I want to say today that in the truths in our land, there's some strange preaching going on. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 7, Paul's writing, and he says something that's very important. In Hebrews 13, verse number 7, he says, remember them which have the rule over you. All right, well, who are they? Those that have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which hath not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, he said, don't be caught up around strange preaching. Be caught up in biblical preaching. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. We need Bible preaching. We need balanced preaching. We need biblical preaching. The day and hour that we live, strange preaching going on in this country. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. Strange preaching. Man, people just want to tiptoe around on issue. And preachers, there's a way to handle the Word of God. A man ain't got to be mean to preach straight. It tickled me the other night. I'd went out to a place and some folks there was enjoying their new preacher. And man preached a great sermon. Thought he'd done a great job. He got on preaching. One of the members walked up to me and he got right in my face and he grabbed me by my coat and he said, he preaches like that every Sunday. And I said, well, why shouldn't he? See, people's got so used to goldfish swallowing and pony rides, they forgot about what preaching's supposed to be about. You'd be surprised what people sitting in. They took it literally what the Bible says, enduring to the end. And I've been in some of them here. I've been here sometimes and I felt like if I'd had a handle, Brother Michael, I'd pull it and let me get gone. I didn't have to shake nobody's hand. But I'm going to tell you something. It don't change the Word of God. Preaching's still right. And so the truths in a strange land. We hear some strange preaching. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Watch, giving heed to seducing spirit. In other words, they're going to tempt your church to come in, try to take preaching out, but you're not to give over to them. You're to stand up against them. Seducing spirits. And watch this, and doctrines of devils. If a man don't preach and teaches people right doctrine, how will they know the difference? Some of you, a woman preacher, would come in. I declare, I believe some of you'd stay. It's amazing to me what people are set under and do. Just amazing to me. And so we see strange preaching. The truth's in a strange land. The truth's there's strange preaching. And then there's some strange parenting. It's amazing to me what mom and daddy's letting young uns do. Mom and daddy's let your preacher hip you right here this morning. Your babies ain't got no business in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at midnight. And listen, teenagers ain't got no business camping out with each other. What you thinking? Little Parker, he's going to make a real preacher. I had it on video. I'd love to show it. It livening up this sermon because some of y'all deader than rip this morning. He got on the fireplace and he started preaching. He said, "What y'all thinking?" And then this is what he said. "I don't know." And they said, "He's got it all figured out." That's a pretty good message, ain't it, Brother Mike? "What y'all thinking?" "I don't know." He closed the book and went to eat him a chocolate chip cookie. Somebody say amen. That's about the way I feel in here on some Sunday morning. "Man, what you thinking?" We see some strange preaching. We see some strange parenting. Look in Proverbs chapter number 19, verse 18. Proverbs 19 and verse number 18. Listen, I'm not for abusing children. Matter of fact, if I know of a child in our church that's being abused, I'd be man enough to step up and do something about it. But let me tell you something. This Bible calls for disciplining. Taking actions, correction. Proverbs 19, verse number 18. I wish some of you would get this down. You sure would hope you. "Chasten thy son while there's hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying." I want to say something right now before them tree huggers come around. If you don't put some straps on them right now, the government will later. And they're going to be wearing a suit that you don't want to see them in. Boy, they know what string to pull, don't they? That little whining. Tear them up for the glory of God, but do it right. Don't do it while you're mad. Get their attention. Teach them what their name is. Amen. And some of my young'uns don't like this, but I don't play with this neither. I'm going to teach my grand-young'uns their name. When I holler at them, they ain't going to keep running like a bird dog that's been let out of a pen. They're going to turn around and see what Pop wants. I'm trying to keep them out of trouble now, the chain gang too. Strange parenting. Proverbs 22:15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Don't say nothing about no more Nintendo. Well, you don't get to go to the ball game Friday night.
Won't you tear them britches up? Smoke them britches. Some of y'all need to find out about this. Some visitors left the other week. They didn't like it, but it don't change. Cut me off, Brother Chris. They listen to me on the internet now when I preach. Cut me off just a minute. Now here, Mama, I want to say something. If your 16-year-old girl's short britches, if her pockets is shorter than her britches is too short. Them Daisy Dukes is out of style. Come on now, help me in the preaching this morning. When your young'un's britches pockets is longer than their britches, they're too short. Man, I went to a ball game other Friday night. I know some of y'all hate that. But it's amazing what folks are letting their young'uns do and wear. 13-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls, dressed up like they're 21, parading with no mama and daddy seeing nothing about what they're doing. Don't look down. Look up here and get you some preaching. We're not praying right now. Look up here and get you some preaching. You're going to get in trouble if you're not careful. Love them children. Discipline them. Love them. Man, I got to work on Mimi every now and then. I say, honey, correct that young'un. They'll respect you for it down the road. I'm not talking about mistreating nobody's young'un. Discipline. Be the mama. Be the daddy to them. They need that in their life. Be grandpa to them. Be grandma to them. Love them. Discipline. Strange preaching. Strange parenting. Strange policies. Boy, it's amazing to me the policies that's in our country. It's crazy. Man, we live in a strange land. Men marrying men. North Carolina passed it the other Friday. The people had already voted down. A high Supreme Judge voted in. They kept the courthouse open. Just marrying men, marrying women, 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 men, men. That ain't right, folks. I realize a school teacher, I know you'll lose your job if you're preaching what I'm preaching this morning. So when you got your children here, I'm going to tell them what the Word of God says. Boy, we got some strange policies. Ain't this something right here? Would you, any of you fellas, ever thought a day that you would shoot a dog come in your yard trying to protect your family and they'd lock you up for it? We got some crazy policies. And let's just take the guns away from everybody because, you know, guns kill everybody. Well, let's take all the pencils away because they misspell all the words. Let's take all the cars off the road because they kill everybody. And all them drunk drivers do. Me and Brother Mike went to, and Brother Dave, we went to Columbus Thursday to see Miss Cormier. He's an old timer, y'all seen. He come out of them sliding doors. Brother Mike done struck a conversation up on him out there. Brother Mike trying to trade him out of some of the old antiques he had, what he's doing. Brother Mike is talking to him and come out and I look. I said, boy, Brother Mike, he's seen some change. He said, preacher, he sure has. Probably 80, 85 year old, seeing things he thought he'd never see. Folks, we got some strange policies in our country. I mean, isn't it amazing? The Bible said if you don't work, you don't eat. What the Bible said. The Bible said if a man don't take care of his own house, he's worse than an infidel. Now, you might not be in the who's who club, but we ought to go to work and we ought to provide for our house. And I believe when a family gets down in the church and need help, we don't need to vote about helping them. We need to help them. You ain't got to vote about doing right around here. Let's say Brother Joe lost his job with the law enforcement. Let's say Brother Joe comes to me privately and says, preacher, I talked to some of the leadership and look, we just can't pay our power bill this week. Well, what kind of something would that be stand Brother Joe up
And say, listen, he ain't got the money to pay his power bill this week. Everybody walks out and says, well, Brother Joe, ain't got no money to pay his power. It ain't nobody's business about whose power bill it is. Give it unto the Lord and let the Lord help his children. You don't embarrass families. You help families and be a blessing to them and be good to them, and God will bless you for it. You ain't got a vote on doing right here. I've heard that more than anything. Well, they don't let you vote down there. Well, you need to move to Washington. You hunting a church or a ballot box? That early church didn't vote, and I'll eat the Bible if you show me where they did. You ain't got a vote on doing right. Do right. We got leadership here, got enough sense how to run things. And if you didn't, I'd get some new leadership. Truth in a strange land. Strange preaching. Strange parenting. Strange policy. Strange passions. Do y'all know what this is today? Talladega Sunday. The other week at camp meeting, I called about the motels. I said, is that Talladega week? I said, oh, no, it ain't Talladega. He said, we wouldn't have a room nowhere. And no sense you calling. Said, yeah, we got some rooms for you. Looked on the internet today. Over 100,000 people bit Talladega. Sitting out there doing this. Around and around and around and around. A guy behind them pouring beer over them. They brawling, fighting. They having a great time, ain't they? A lot of them will lose their job in the morning because they hung over and can't even get down there. But they come to a church house and they'll say, well, you offended me. Boy, ain't that bizarre. Any of y'all ever shopped at Walmart, man? Man. Strange passions. It's amazing what sport. Listen, I know we got some ball game fanatic. That's okay. I love to play golf. I love to hunt and fish. Ain't no problem with you having an outlet. But it ought not be your whole life. You ought to serve God. Ain't it amazing the way the devil slips sports in our country? Just think about it a minute. Don't turn me off, because I know many of you have, because now it done got on your little sin. But I want you to think about something just a minute. There's nothing wrong with a ball game. But when they become your God, it's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with deer hunting, but when it becomes your God, something's wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with shopping, but when it becomes your God, it's something wrong with it. Passions. Boy, it's strange passions. I've never seen so many people say, well, you know, we live in hard times and gas is so high, we just can't afford to do that. But you know, we pretty much do what we pretty much want to do. Just hadn't got our passion right. Stranger in a strange land. Strange, Pat, I'm about to close. Strange politicians. No one person's going to straighten all this out. It's going to take God's people getting back to what God said do. Pray. Live right. Put God where He's supposed to be at. You know, that generation died. You'll notice God was blessing, and all of a sudden, when that generation didn't know how to carry God on, that generation suffered for it. I've said this a lot the last two or three weeks. The reason we're blessed is because of the ones, most of them, that's gone on to meet the Lord now, served God, and the blessings come on our country on account of it. But now there's a generation gone, done buried, and now they've left folks behind, know nothing about God, about church or nothing. And so that's where we are in America. You know who's really going to be affected? Is your children and your grandchildren, and my children and my grandchildren. See, we're living on the blessings from the past of our forefathers that served God and loved Him. It's amazing what our forefathers stood for. Strange politicians. strange planet. Man, it's a strange land. But I want to say this closing this morning. The times of a strange land, the truths in a strange land, but there's teaching in a strange land. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. The father of our faith said it. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. The Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, here's the word, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All right, preacher, what's the teaching in the strange land? Number one, Abraham says we can still live right in a strange land. Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean you got to do it. Living in a strange land. He said, man, I am living in a strange land. Will you agree with this preacher this morning? We're living in a strange land. Number two, look where he was looking in a strange land. Verse number 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something that didn't have USA stamped on it. He is looking for a better place. Aren't you glad there's a better place to go to? He looked for a city. Are you looking for the city? My heaven's going to fix it all. Sharing with you come this morning. Then there's this teaching in this strange land. There's a living in a strange land. There's a looking in a strange land. But in verse 13, there was a leaving out of a strange land. Look what he said. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what I want to do this morning. You see, all of those that lived in faith, they died in faith. I'm glad the teaching in a strange land lets me know I can still live in a strange land. Lets me know where I can be looking in a strange land. It lets me know, most of all, one of these days I'm going to leave out of this strange land and I'm going to a better place. We'll get Miss Sherry to play this morning. That's what I like to do. I like to see daddies and granddaddies all around this house this morning.